Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Our next guest hardly needs an introduction, but of course we are going to give him one anyway. Internationally acclaimed violinist Itzhak Perlman has won 15 Grammy Awards, performed for presidents and royalty, and for hundreds of thousands of normal people like us as well.
Tonight, he'll perform the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Francesco Lecce-Chong. We had the honor of sitting down with Itzhak Perlman ahead of that performance. Mr. Perlman, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
I want to start with the Mendelssohn because that is what you're here to play. And you have been with this piece, you have talked to this piece for most of your life.
Oh, well, at least a couple of years.
Well, at least, yes.
Yeah, well, now that piece, I've actually studied that piece when I was 11 or 12, and played it, you know, when you were a student, at least during my day. I mean, these days, students, you know, they go from one piece to another. You know, they study a piece for 2 months, and they said, okay, what's next? But during my time, you know, I mean, you studied a piece, you were there for an extended period of time. So I was there with that piece for a while, and had all sorts of interesting experiences with that piece as a young kid and so on and so forth. And so that when I started to play concerts, I actually divorced that piece from my repertoire. I just said, I don't want to play it. I felt that it was too difficult. And the memories of, especially when you play something as a young child, there are always little things that you do because you're in the process of learning. And so they stay with you. And those things, sometimes they sound kind of weird. And then when you want to take the piece over again, it sounds, you can't help but have the same little mistakes here or not pleasant phrases there. And it's difficult to get it out of your head because you've done it as a kid. And the minute you do something as a kid, our brain has a way of really copying it, you know. And it's like a Xerox copy, and then it's difficult to erase. You know, you can't erase a copy. So what you have to do is you have to make a copy, another copy, so that you can obliterate the copy that's before. So for about 5 years, when I started to play concerts, I did not play the Mendelssohn Concerto. And after 5 years, I said, you know, this is really a nice piece.
I kind of
like that piece. So why don't I try? And so it was kind of with fresh eyes. And since then, I haven't really stopped playing it. It's a kind of a jewel. It's sort of a perfect piece, but difficult. And because it's a classical piece, what I mean by classical, from classical period, you have to really behave towards it in a way that you cannot overdo it or underdo it. It has to be just right. And the phrasing has to be just right. It's very transparent, not dissimilar to playing, let's say, something by Mozart or something by Beethoven. Again, with the classical period pieces, you know, you have to have just the right sound, the right phrasing, and so on and so forth. In some ways, the romantic period, when you play something, in some ways it might be easier to do because you can take some liberties. Here, it has to sound as though you're taking liberties, but yet it's in a frame where everything is just right. And so that's the challenge of this piece.
And so now that you're playing it, 2 years later, after
when you first
came across it,
yeah.
How do you talk to it now? What do you say to it now?
Hello, how are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah.
No, look, the challenge of playing a piece over and over again, whether it's Mendelssohn or Tchaikovsky or Brahms or whatever it is what do you say to a piece for the 30th time or for the 100th time or for the 200th time? It's also an interesting challenge that I find when I teach. When I say to my students, I said to them, to perform a piece for the first time, in many ways, is easy. It may not be easy because you get nervous, you don't know what's going to happen, but in some ways, the adrenaline works, and you can actually, if you have a good performance for the first time, it's very nice. The second time, it may be a little bit easier because you know what you're doing. But the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time becomes a challenge. Why? Well, what do I do now? You know, I know the piece. I've done that. I've been there. So what do I do? And that's when the music comes in. And that's where, you know, the concentration of what the music says to you is what can carry you to continue to be interested in the piece without doing it the way that it goes. Because there's, you know, one of the dangers is to do something the way it goes. And the minute you do it the way it goes, that means that you're basically referring to what you've done with it yesterday or last week or last month or last year. And so as a result, the spontaneity may be lost because it's like baking a cake. You know, once you bake a cake and it's good, you've got the recipe, you bake it, and every time the cake is the same, which is fine.
For cakes,
yeah. Exactly. But you don't want to do that for music. For music, you want to have a little bit of a change, you know, and something that will interest you as a player. Because otherwise, if you do the same thing, then you yourself get bored. And all the subtleness, there's a lot of subtlety, and I'm a firm believer in the audience. I think that the audience can sense when something is sort of okay and, you know, pretty nice, as opposed to something that's very special. And I'm a firm believer that the audience can sense that. It's interesting, you know, the other day I was listening to a concert and somebody was playing something, and I felt that it was, as a musician, as a professional musician, and as somebody who has experience in hearing things, I felt that it was okay, but that it was not really something very, very special. But it was well played. And son of a gun, you know, audience reaction was exactly that. The applause were okay, you know, nice and sort of enthusiastic, but not too much. But it wasn't like, wow, you know, because it wasn't a wow performance.
Right.
And so I'm a firm believer that the audience, even though they may not know exactly what goes on, or they may not be musicians, but there is a sense that carries across the stage, yes. But then, of course, there is the other challenge, which is, what kind of a judge are you about your own performance? Again, you know, when I teach, I say to the kids, don't judge after you play. Sometimes kids come and say, oh, that was horrible. And I said to them, have you heard a tape of that? Have you heard a recording? Don't say that it was horrible before you actually heard what you sounded like. Because most of the time, it's always a surprise. Because when you don't feel well, you think that you don't play well. And when you feel well, you think you play great. And sometimes when you think you play great, it doesn't sound as good as you think. And when you think that you played terrible, when it was a real struggle, you hear a tape and you say, oh my goodness, that wasn't as bad as I thought.
You spend a lot of time teaching now.
Yes.
As much as performing?
Oh, yes. Well, let's put it that way. When I'm not performing, I'm teaching. So when I'm in town, I teach. When I'm not in town, I don't teach. You know. But for me, it's another way of teaching myself in what I do as a performer. You know, because when I do basically three things. I teach, I conduct, and I perform. And all these three things are connected. In all these things, you're required to have a very, very good ability to listen to what goes on. And you basically are a coach in some ways to all three things. You know, I'm a coach of my own playing, I'm a coach of the kids, and when I conduct, I'm a coach of an orchestra. But the coaching is very refined because I've been very fortunate to conduct some of the world's greatest orchestras. So the challenge is always, what do you say to a fantastic orchestra that when you are conducting a Brahms symphony, what do you tell them? They've played that piece so many times. So what do you tell them that's your own?
What do you tell them?
I just tell them what I want to tell them. I tell them what I feel I hear in these pieces. And it's the same thing with teaching students. You know, it's like, what do you tell a talented student who plays very, very well? What do you tell about the music and about phrasing and so on and so forth that can give them some sort of a guidance? And then comes myself. And so when I play, what do I say to myself, you know, when I play for the hundredth of times a phrase of the Mendelssohn Concerto, how to do it in a fresh way and so on. So that's the challenge. And because you do it all the time, it becomes familiar to you.
Do you think that you're a better player now because of those other two things being so much a part of your life?
I think so. I'm a better musician. And the thing is, there's nothing worse than going on stage and playing a piece and just kind of going through the piece. nicely, but just going through the piece. If you're excited about music, every time that you play, you have to be excited about what you're doing and say, I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to do it that way. It's not like driving to the office every day and taking the same street, making a left, going straight two blocks, making a right, and you're there. It's different, you know, it's making a detour. You know, maybe you see something in the road, and maybe you stop, then you go, but and you get to the same point, but it's different way of doing it.
And each time you play this, you're playing with a different orchestra, too.
That's true.
That
yeah,
also changes.
You've got a different orchestra, a different conductor, you know, different hall. So, you know, of course, acoustics are very, very helpful when they're good to the player. If you don't have to struggle with acoustics, obviously, the only way to do it with acoustics is if the acoustics are really bad, forget about it and just do your thing, but not react. Some people react to it, and that's always a mistake. I always say to kids, if somebody says, oh, acoustics are bad, I suggest forget about it. You just play your music, and if you don't hear something, a reverb or something that you love to do, forget about it. Just do what you're doing. Don't try to force. Obviously, if you have a beautiful hall, then you can actually play the hall. You know, the hall becomes an instrument, and then everything is so easy, and then you can actually do things easier, and it's more interesting to you as well.
Well, speaking of things interesting, I loved going onto your website and finding that the first video there was with Billy Joel. And I thought that was wonderful. And yeah. that's a hallmark of the kind of musician that you are, I think, because you play all kinds of different things.
Well, Billy asked me to do this one song, like, I don't know, 20 years ago, something like that. And I did it. And then he has this residency at Madison Square Garden. You know, every month he does a concert to sold out. And so I know Billy because he's the sweetest man. And he's been supporting the music program because he is a Long Islander. And, you know, we are in Long Island and so on and so forth.
He's a wonderful pianist.
He's terrific. Yeah. He's terrific. And so we decided, you know, why not? I'll do a little guest appearance. So we did, of course, Downeaster Alexa, which was the thing that I did with him, you know, 20 years ago and so on. So that was a lot of fun.
It's so great to see you up there in the rock and roll lights.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'll tell you something. Going on stage, you know, and getting 19,000 people screaming at you is an experience that's amazing. It's really unreal.
You can see why the rock and roll guys do it.
Oh, my God, it's unreal. It's like, you know, you've got that wave of sound, wow, like that. And it's incredible.
And
incredible.
Speaking of the audience, like, feeding. But you also have talked and played in other genres. I mean, I loved your klezmer stuff.
Oh, that's great.
I
love that. I love to do that. That's something that I had no idea that I could do. I always like to tell the story when I was recording a jazz record with Oscar Peterson. Of course, people said, we didn't know that you were a jazz player. I said, no, I'm not a jazz player. I play a little jazz, but I'm not a jazz player. That's not me. But so it was very funny because I said to them, I'd like to do things that I actually know because I don't want to be bothered with trying to figure out improvising unless I really know the song very well, and so then I know what the chord structure is, and so on and so forth. So we were doing this, and after one take, the record producer was saying, you know, that didn't sound very jazzy. It sounded more like klezmer. So that's when I discovered that I could actually play klezmer by trying to play jazz. And so then I said, well, you know, maybe there's a future for me in klezmer. And then shortly thereafter, you know, I was approached to host a klezmer program. And then they said, would you like to try a little bit? And so I tried a little bit. And from then on, it was like it was something that really got to me. And so we just did recently something, you know, a beautiful concert at Carnegie Hall, where they were actually dancing in the aisles at Carnegie Hall. So I had a good time doing that.
So between dancing in the aisles in Carnegie Hall and the 19,000 people screaming at you.
Yeah.
I hope it's not
different
gonna be
experiences.
Different experiences. But I hope it's not going to be a disappointment to play Mendelssohn here.
No, absolutely not. You know, it's very funny. For this thing, you want noise. for the classical music, you don't want noise. You want, you know, you want quiet. So each one has a different set of demands.
I cannot thank you enough, Mr. Perlman.
Why not?
For talking with me and taking some time. So looking forward to hearing the Mendelssohn. And
me
I
too,
hope you'll
too.
Talk with us again when
Absolutely.
You're in town again.
Anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Itzhak Perlman has won awards around the world for his violin playing, including 15 Grammy Awards. He'll play this evening with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra in a performance of Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto. It takes place at Eline Hall. There is a link to more information at wuwm.com.